Right, we're going to take a short break from 1 Samuel, so you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll also be looking at 1 Peter as well. 2 Corinthians and 1 Peter in the New Testament there. Toward the back of your Bible, I remember you can see the contents if you're wondering where it is, or turn to a neighbor and ask for help. And the reason why we're taking a short break is we're going to be looking for the next couple of weeks at the mission statement that we have for Living Hope Ministry. Now, we developed this about a year ago. Jay, Elaine, Ray, and Joyce, my wife, myself. But I've waited to preach on it, because obviously it's based in Scripture, until we got to this new chapter in our church life, the new building for Living Hope, and the new chapel. You can see the mission statement from the front of the bulletin. It says, Living Hope is a worshiping community of Christ's disciples, known, loved, and spiritually equipped to join God on His mission in every area of life. And today we're just going to be looking at that first phrase in the sentence, Living Hope is a worshiping community. Now, 2 Corinthians 6 and 1 Peter 1, these are good places to go as we consider this theme. So hear now the word of the living God. This is the sword of the Holy Spirit. And I'll begin in verse 14, actually, of the 6th chapter. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll read the second and third verse. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I confess that I don't always rejoice to hear Your living voice in the words of Scripture. But oh, how good it is, even if I don't always recognize it, even if we don't always recognize what a privilege and what goodness is here as we hear the Word of God, Your Word, Your living and active Word. So we pray, give us hearts open to what You have for us. Lord, let me speak Your word faithfully, relevantly, that we might, in this hour and in our lives, be built up. For we are Your temple. We are Your people. We pray this in the name of our elder brother, our prophet, our priest, and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. So for years and years, I was doing YouTube workouts. You know why I did YouTube workouts? Because it was cheap and it was easy. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to drive anywhere. You just, you know, click it in. I would go to YouTube. I'd go to Millionaire Boy. It's got Millionaire Boy. And for years I did it. You don't have to pay anything, right? It's cheap. It's easy. And, you know, it was good enough. It helped me to stay healthy, stay in shape. Until a couple of years ago, for various reasons, I decided to start going to a local gym. And let me tell you, the difference between working out alone in my basement on YouTube versus going to a gym with a lot of other people and a coach, with various coaches really, who play different kinds of music when they come in, and the conversations that take place about what gear works best for this or that, or just learning more about what's going on in people's lives. The difference between working out by myself on YouTube versus working out in a gym in face-to-face community is not just a difference of degree, it's like almost a difference in kind. It is so much better, so much more enjoyable, and yes, a bit more expensive and time-consuming to do, but it is so much better to be in community when I'm working out. Now, Living Hope is a worshiping community. And community is something that people in our culture are longing for, even though they are vying for more and more an online community. In this internet age, an age that many of you were born into and have grown up into and not known any other time, in this time, people are increasingly more lonely because people are spending more and more of their time merely in online social media communities. Now, it serves some purpose, much like my YouTube workouts. It's not all bad. If you're an older person, right, you're elderly, you can't even get out of the house. An online community serves actually pretty well in many ways. And there are other times, maybe, in which these communities are good, but by and large, the research has shown, I did a little bit of research myself yesterday, that when people are spending more time online, more time on social media, actually loneliness increases exponentially. And the gold standard for decreasing loneliness is face-to-face community. Face-to-face community, a gym, a bowling club, a frisbee club, an arm wrestling club, I don't know, but face-to-face community, this decreases loneliness, the gold standard. But you know what the gold standard amongst gold standards is for decreasing loneliness? The gold standard of community is the Church of the Living God. It's the Church of the Living God. Why? Because it's in the Church of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. It is here that not only do we have human community, we share in the divine community. It is not just a human community, it is God's community. There is a loneliness that cannot be dealt with in the human soul merely by human community, because in the human soul it remembers walking in the garden with the living God. There is a longing in the human soul for the living God that can only be quenched by the living God, and it is in the community of the Church alone that we meet with the living God. And Living Hope, as a part of CCCBA, as a part of a larger global church, is that community of God. And we are a worshiping community. The Church is God's face-to-face community, in other words. Now, I want to take us through this message today by answering four questions. The first, are all communities God's community? Are all communities God's community. When did God's community begin? What do the humans in God's community fundamentally do? And what should inspire us to do that fundamental thing that God's community does? So let's begin. Are all communities God's community? Well, I think you know what I'm going to say. The answer is no. Now, a little bit of context here. All people are made by God. All people are made in His image, and God, who is love, has a love for all people. It is true. So often in our culture, though, people will say, well, all people are God's children. All people are part of God's family. That's not true, that we are all part of God's covenant community. And this is a big part of Paul's argument, actually, in 2 Corinthians as a whole. As Paul is defending his ministry as a true apostle of Jesus Christ, and therefore there are false teachers and false apostles of Christ who are misleading people. No, Paul's message, his ministry, is about connecting people with the true Jesus Christ, who has been raised from the dead and who lives and reigns at the Father's right hand. And so Paul makes a distinction, many distinctions here in 2 Corinthians. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with the law? What portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. There is a temple of the living God, and there is not the temple of the living God. And praise be to God, we are the temple of the living God, because we have believed that message. More than that, we have placed our faith in the Christ of that message that Paul teaches. And as the temple of the living God, God has said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. Just as He walked with us in the garden so long ago, He walks amongst us again in the church. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God's community is that community that has trusted in the Son of God who became man, lived the life we could not live, died the death we deserved to die, and was raised on the third day to give us new life by His Spirit, that we might be saved by faith, through grace, all to His glory. This is the true community of God. This is the gold standard for dispelling darkness and loneliness and all wickedness, defilement of body and spirit. This is the place of light and goodness and love and joy and peace and self-control and all of the fruit of the Spirit. This is that, and it can be that even more and increasingly as we participate more fully in all that God has for us. So not all communities are God's community. It is here alone that we meet with the living God. Now, when did God's community begin? It's an interesting question. I wonder how you might answer it. How might you answer that? When did God's community begin? I know some of you are thinking, well, this one answer works well in Sunday school. Jesus. Boom. I always get the answer right when I say Jesus. But I'm going to tell you what. It didn't just start with Jesus. You say, okay, right, all right. God's covenant people began with Israel. Moses. That's usually a good one. Not Moses. Didn't start with Moses either. Abraham. No. Didn't start with Abraham. Oh, Adam and Eve. Started with Adam. No. Didn't even start with Adam and Eve. God's community started in eternity. Because God Himself is not merely an individual. He Himself is a community. The Father, fully God. The Son, fully God. The Spirit,
fully God and yet one God, from all eternity enjoy a community of love. This is where God's community began. I had an interesting conversation on a Lyft ride from the mechanics the other day. You know, this mechanic, you get a free ride back to your house. I mean, it's probably included in the charge. But anyway, so I get the Lyft driver shows up. I hop in the car, and it's just awkward, the silence. I'm one of those people who want to talk. Other people just want to be silent. It's okay. So we can all be different in that way. But I just sat there and I thought about him, and so I'm going to ask him. And I said, "Hey, what would you say if I told you that Jesus Christ rose from the dead?" He said, "I'm a Muslim, so that didn't happen. We say that he never died, that God, he just took him up." I said, "Okay." So for the next 4 minutes, we had a really good conversation. A really good, cordial conversation. He was enjoying it so much, he missed his turn. And he said to me, you say there's three gods, right? There's God, there's Jesus, and then there's that other one. Well, then, the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You say there's three gods. But hold on a second. That can't be one. One plus one plus one equals one. Three does not equal one. And I said, "You're right. Three doesn't equal one." But that's in human mathematics. We're talking about God. The living God who created mathematics. Mathematics is the creation of God. He's not subject to human math. But we receive what he tells us about himself. And God himself is a divine community that has always existed. And in God's creating us in his image, he made us to enter into his divine community. And this is the wonder of what we have as God's people, that we get to be brought into his community, and all by the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, what do humans in God's community fundamentally do? What is it that we fundamentally do in God's community? There's a lot of things that we do. But in this mission statement, Living Hope is a worshiping community. That word worshiping is covering a lot. And we can define it very, very broadly, because worship is, in a sense, everything we do. You know, in that great first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, what is the chief end of humanity? What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him fully forever. Both glorifying him and enjoying him. This really is what characterizes worship. But what we're reminded is that this is to characterize all of life. All of life, therefore, is worship. But it's also, we can define it more narrowly as what we're doing right now. When we gather on Sunday, for example, at 10 a.m. Isn't it wonderful, 10 a.m. worship? When we gather at 10 a.m. for worship, this is also about glorifying and enjoying. This is the fundamental thing that we do as God's people, because, again, it's about community. It is about communion. It is about being with him and he being with us and us being with one another. Why, it's not ideal to worship alone at home with a YouTube sermon or something like that. This is what God made us for. And we fundamentally are about what this community is about when we are worshiping. And so, when you think about Living Hope, the core of what we do, is what we are doing right now. Worshiping the living God. Hearing his word. Praising him in song. Praying. Taking the sacraments, baptism, the Lord's Supper. Being sent out on mission, and so on. This is the fundamental thing that God's community is about. Last question is, what fuels our fundamental action? This worshiping. What fuels this response of worship? Is it guilt? You're a sinner. Worship God. You don't worship him enough. I like the laugh. And yet sadly, even though we know, of course not. Of course it's not guilt that should fuel worship. For many of us, at times, that's exactly what we think. We beat ourselves up all the time. Be a better Christian. You know, we've got the metaphorical, imaginary whip in our hands, whipping ourselves in the back. I'm such a terrible person. I need to worship. I need to be a better Christian. And I'm going to beat myself into submission until I show up on Sunday and it's awesome. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. What we do see, if Paul said, the love of Christ compels us. It is the love of Christ that compels us. In fact, that Paul mentions, it's the kind of love that compels him actually into afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights. I know some of you had a sleepless night last night when you came in so late after working in the chapel. Thank you for all that. Hunger. What compels him to this sort of life? What compels us into worship? It's the love of Christ. What compels us to seek communion with the living God? That he's angry at us? What compels us, what draws us near to him, is he is gracious towards us, is he loves us. We are his sons and daughters because of the work of his Son. And so what compels community, worshiping community, is communion itself. Communion. This practice that Christ instituted that we do in remembrance of him. This is at the center of why we respond in worship. On the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat, all of you." On the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink, all of you." If you're here and you have believed that Christ has died and been raised for your salvation, and that this salvation is received merely by faith, by the empty and open hand, trusting in him. And if you have trusted in this gospel and been baptized, then this meal is for you. It's not only for members of our church, it's for members of any church that preach this gospel in which you believe this gospel. If you have been put under some form of severe discipline like excommunication, and you are not to take the supper at this point, then please let the elements pass for now. If you have yet to be baptized and believe, of course, let the elements pass for now. But don't let the opportunity pass. This is an opportunity for prayer, for you to come to the living God in prayer and repent and believe and then come speak with me or speak with your pastor that you might come to the table with us in the future.